Studio 360.
My pal Roseanne Cash is a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter. Given that her father was Johnny Cash, it makes sense that her music is rootsy and introspective, sometimes haunting.
It was a black Cadillac, drove you away. Everybody's talking, but they don't have much to say.
But the music she makes, and one song in particular she secretly loves, are very different things. And as of right now, no longer a secret. Because for a new feature we're calling Guilty Pleasure, Roseanne told us about first hearing that song when she was young.
I think my first memory is of being, you know, near the beach in somebody's car, riding along by the ocean and hearing
"Do that to me one more time."
"Do That to Me One More Time" by Captain and Tennille. It just felt so bright and sunny, and, you know, the ocean and the sunshine and Tony Tennille. Well, I'm certainly not an expert on the Captain and Tennille, but they were both keyboard players and songwriters. The Captain, whose real name was Daryl Dragon, had met this woman, Tony Tennille, and they got married and they started making records together. Huge pop hits, you know, Muskrat Love, Love Will Keep Us Together. It was almost a tradition in the 60s and 70s that there would be husband and wife teams. In 1976, they had their own TV show, following in the, you know, inimitable footsteps of Sonny and Cher.
And now, the Captain and Tennille.
They were never cool. Never. Even at 14, I thought, this is a guilty pleasure. I'm going to have to be very careful who I share with that I like the Captain and Tennille.
Well, before we make plans for a vacation, though, you got to make me one promise.
What?
That we leave the keyboard at home.
Can we send it a postcard?
They were an incongruous duo. I think that part of the fascination is, why are these two people together? Daryl always wore a captain's hat and sunglasses, you know, and it just looked ridiculous because he was morose looking. He never sang. He's just this odd combination of goofy and creepy.
How many people think I'm dumb? Raise their hand.
Like, he plays these keyboards that sound really bad. Like, he'll play rubber bands wrapped around his toes. And I know I'm really sound like I'm throwing a lot of shade to the Captain, but, you know, Tony is the one who obsesses me.
You're so terrific. You never done it like that. You never been this way before.
She is this kind of all-American girl from Alabama. She's got more teeth than is humanly possible. I mean, her smile is like you have to put on sunglasses. She would put on these dresses, sequin dresses, slit up to her neck, and that Southern charm just oozes off from
gone. Oh, but you've been learning.
She's got the work ethic of a song and dance man, right? She dances, she writes songs, she sings. I mean, to me, in some songs, she sounds like a cross between Dusty Springfield and Dionne Warwick. The first time you heard it, you go, well, this is a piece of pop confection. It's not anything close to the Beatles' The White Album. They're not great lyrics. It's a really overused chord progression. That 1-6 minor 4-5, like millions of pop songs use that progression. My husband, John Leventhal, who's a producer, musician, and songwriter himself, he always says, all of humanity loves the relative minor. And a good songwriter will be very careful if they're going to use that progression because it's very overused.
Tell it to me once again.
The melody she chose to put on top of that progression is really sweet and lifting. You know, it's got a nice lift and it's got these beautiful ascending and descending lines to it. Now she modulates.
Do that to me one more time.
You know, it's almost like a Broadway conceit. Like, can you just stay in the same key? But people love that. The sound of her kind of surrender and lack of artifice.
Kiss me like you just did.
Feels like she's wrapping you in her arms, you know.
Oh, baby, do that to me once again.
This gentle authority that she has in her voice. I mean, she's got soul. She bends notes beautifully. She's got great pitch.
Oh, baby, do that to me one more time.
This song, for what it is the best it could have been. It's like when you look behind the curtain, there's not much there. It's her. It's her we love.
Up, admit it, you love the iconic couple of the 70s, the Captain and Tennille. Tonight, it's over.
Captain and Tennille?
I hate the story.
Splitting up after nearly 40 years
that
of marriage.
Wrong. So wrong.
Love, after all, did not keep them together.
So we find out much later that it wasn't this strange romance that everybody thought it was, but it was kind of dark. I wonder what she would have done without the captain. Like, I think in some ways, musically, he put anchors on her feet. I wonder if she was afraid to just go for it. A woman at that time, you know, whether she thought she needed him to provide context or validity in some way. And I wonder if now, if it were now, if she just realized she didn't need that, that she was good enough on her own. In fact, she was better. You know, this song does not fit into my legacy or my canon or my father's canon in any way whatsoever.
When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
I can't see him ever listening to this for pleasure. I mean, he had his guilty pleasures too, you know, songs about dead dogs and stuff like that. But he required a bit more grit. I mean, and I do too, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes I eat too much coconut cake. Sometimes I love this song. This is my shower song. Like, if I want to warm up my voice, for decades it's been do that to me one more time. Do that to me one more time. Once is never enough with a man like you.
So, what's the song you secretly sing in the shower? Or not just the song, the movie you love, or the novel, or the app, or cultural anything that you love that might surprise people. Send a voice memo to Studio360 at WNYC.org explaining your guilty pleasure, and we may invite you on our show to talk about it.